is just past 7 p.m. on October 15th, 2025. You're listening to Prison Radio on CFRC 101.9 FM. Welcome back. It is now mid-October, and it's finally starting to feel like it's properly autumn. The leaves have been turning for a few weeks now. They're starting to fall. We have that lovely autumn scent in the air. It's been much cooler, especially at night. And it's getting dark much earlier again. I think it is a perfect evening for some nice cozy storytelling. So that's what I have planned for today's show. I'm going to be reading you a short story by Margaret Kiljoy, whose work I have read on the show before. This story is called We Who Will Destroy the Future. It's a sci-fi story about some people who were incarcerated in the future, and it has a sort of interesting speculation of what incarceration might look like in the future. It's not like a very good outlook by any means. It's a little dystopian, but I think it's really interesting. The story follows two inmates, or exiles, and takes place kind of both in the past and the future at the same time. Yeah, I hope you enjoy. Without further ado, here is We Who Will Destroy the Future. And just a quick content warning before we get started. This piece of fiction does include some swearing. You know how most people break out of prison in this century? Maya asked Yannick. The East Flats of Cleveland spread out below their rooftop vantage. An endless mess of dead warehouses and deserted streets lit up by the hot summer sun. I don't think most people break out of prison, Yannick said.
Helicopter. Something like half the jail breaks. Usually it's their wife who's flying, sometimes their friends. Land in the yard with a hostage, fly the hell out of there.
You need to get a wife, Yannick said. Maya towed a loose brick, and it tumbled over the edge of the warehouse, thudding into the plastic lid of a dumpster 40 feet below.
A little late for that, she said.
A little early, Yannick said.
You fucking like it here, Maya said.
I mean, could be worse.
You like shitty 2010s video games and shitty 2010s pre-Hensian punk rock, and I bet you even like shitty 2010s fashion.
The fashion's going to get better in, what, like 15 years, if even that? Yannick said.
In 15 years, I'm going to be so fucking old, Maya said. I'm not waiting around 5 fucking years. I'm getting out of here before I'm 30. You know why they dump us here? You know why I think the 21st century is the prison century?
Because the Corrective Council abolished the death penalty and they couldn't send any more people to Stalinist Russia without someone noticing?
I bet they calculated that the 21st century America was the worst place time to live in, with the longest life expectancy. Highest rates of anxiety in recorded history. But they're going to cure cancer soon enough. That will have plenty of time to suffer.
Maya tried to tow another brick off the edge, but it wouldn't budge. She pulled back to kick it, changed her mind, stomped on the silver tar paper roof. There's some good stuff here too, though, Yannick said.
Yeah? Like what?
I don't know. Hip-hop? Mechanical bicycles? Taco Bell?
Hip-hop is good, Maya admitted. Look, there's really two kinds of time convicts, right? They're the people who accept it, integrate themselves,
get a shitty job, get stuck in some monogamous marriage.
And then there's the whack jobs who tell everyone the truth for so long and get told they're crazy for so long that they just give up and actually go crazy. What do you want from me? Maya asked. I'm wearing high-waisted short shorts, I'm wearing shoes, and I say things like GTFO, and I don't talk about my background in post-temporal string inoculation. I pretend like I think Zizek is hard to follow, yet innovative.
Maya paced around. The warehouse had been abandoned for decades, since labor had gone overseas. Corporate globalization was one of those weird, stupid quirks of human history. Like when medieval peasants would all get infected with dance mania and thousands of them danced erratically until they fell unconscious or died. But there she was, standing on the skeletal remains of a building gutted by a quirk of history.
Help me with this, she said. She staggered back over to Yannick, an air conditioning window unit in her arms. Some asshole actually parked a BMW in this neighborhood. I want to drop this on it.
Yannick did that thing he always did, where he shrugged his eyebrows, and then he stood up to his full 6'6" and helped her. He was a good friend, a good cellmate.
We gotta swing it back and forth for momentum. Like, 1, 2, 3, go, if we're gonna get that car, Maya said.
All right. They launched the air conditioner over the wall of the warehouse. It soared 15 feet laterally, then fell fast and scraped down the passenger side of their target, scratching up the paint.
Fuck, Maya said. What the hell else can we throw?
Come on, Yannick said. It was close enough.
It wasn't.
Maya jumped up on the loose brick wall, spun on one heel to face her friend.
You're not thinking big. You can't just let shit happen to you. You can't just scrape the side of the BMW. You gotta smash in the windshield. You can't just get used to time exile. You've gotta make a fucking jailbreak.
You know the other way people do it? Maya asked.
The dark came in the window of their apartment. The only lighting, the glow of a romantic comedy playing on the laptop on the coffee table.
Do what? Yannick asked. They take a guard hostage, Maya said.
Improvise a weapon, get it up on the guard's throat, pistol from their holster, and boom.
Boom what? Boom, you're out of there. Don't mess with me or I'll waste this bozo.
I don't think anyone says waste this bozo, though. You've got the slang all wrong.
Least of anyone's worries. You can say it however you want. You've got a shiv up to some guy's throat. That's what the power is.
On the screen, the characters were walking through a park. Cute and earnest.
Movies were the worst form of mass entertainment ever produced, Maya announced.
I like movies, Yannick said.
They're flat. None of the expression of theater, the depth of prose, the immersion of good AR, or even VR. 150 years of entertainment dark ages.
On the screen, the characters were sitting in a pretty little New York City cafe. Don't they all get caught afterwards? The people who break out? Yannick asked. Maya pulled her bare feet up to sit cross-legged on the couch.
Yeah,
she said. Usually in a few days. They go home to their families or go see their friends. Cops are waiting for them.
Happens every time. I won't do that.
If you can't go to see your family or friends, what's the point of a jailbreak?
This movie's moronic. Why would the protagonist pick between these guys? They both like her. She likes both of them. Date them both. There, movie's over. Solved it.
Maya Havel, the woman who single-handedly destroyed a genre, Yannick said.
Maya stood up, slammed the laptop shut. It's just not right. Fuck what's fair or unfair, but it's not right. This isn't how it happens. I'm not supposed to be here. I've got to fix it.
You can't fix it.
I refuse to accept that.
Maya's text tone sounded in the middle of the night. 8 months into her exile, and she still hadn't gotten used to the idea that people had to communicate via text messages. Worse, her phone didn't even know when it was okay to bother her and when it wasn't. She stared at her ceiling fan as it beat against the air. Her phone chirped again. There was no such thing as an innocuous text tone. Since humans naturally tie their electronics into their limbic systems, every noise on her phone could possibly make had the power to set her on edge. She nudged Yannick off the crook of her arm, then reached for the nightstand to grab the devil machine.
People say that living well is the best revenge, but they are wrong. It read.
An unknown number. Local area code. Then the second message. I can think of a lot better ways to get revenge than eating organic food and doing yoga. I bet you could too. She tapped Yannick's bare chest, woke him up.
What?
He asked. She handed him the phone. While she read the message again over his shoulder, another appeared. If you want to help me destroy the future, Meet me at night, passing the earth to day. All right, Yannick typed. He pressed send.
Hey, why would you do that?
Maya asked, grabbing her phone. You were going to say yes anyway, weren't you? Yannick asked.
What, to some riddle sent by some stranger in the middle of the night?
It's hardly a riddle.
Well, I don't know it.
Oh, whatever. Get up, get dressed. I'll show you where you're going. I'm guessing you're supposed to be there by sunrise. The pre-dawn streets were empty but for the people who regularly slept outside, and most of them were sleeping. Streetlights turned red to green for no one, and Maya and Yannick blew through intersections on their bicycles without a sideways glance. At MLK and Euclid, Yannick stopped.
What? We're here?
Maya asked. Turn right on Euclid, head into the Wade Park. There's a statue there. Night passing the earth to day.
How'd you know that? Why aren't you coming?
Because I like parts. Because your mysterious friend texted you, not me. Hit me up when you're done.
You're gonna bail on me like that?
Yep, Yannick said. I'm going to find a cafe or something. Somewhere's got to be open soon. You need anything, let me know.
What if I need you to come with me?
Maya asked. You don't need me to go with you, Yannick said. He nudged his foot back into his toe clips and rode off. There was nothing good to kick in easy reach. Maya rode against the sparse traffic, forcing the two cars she passed to honk and swerve, and the light of dawn encroached upon the city. Along the steps down into the manicured park, overlooking the reflecting pool, two bronze-casted women struggled with the weight of the world. The inscription on the pedestal said they were transferring the huge metal orb from one to the other, but to Maya looked more like they were working together to 1, 2, 3, go the earth into the water. Leaning against the statue, smoking a cigarette, was a thin white man Maya's age. He wore a backwards red baseball cap, a woman's suit jacket, wide-legged pants, and antique running shoes. Clearly, he was fresh from the future, where they gave you whatever clothes they thought vaguely fit the century of your exile. Maya stopped 5 paces away. Maya? The man's eyes were bright and blue, his face open and welcoming.
You are?
Without planning, she closed the distance between them. My name's Naro. He offered his left hand.
You shake with your right. You might want to change your name. Try Norman. It's a contemporary variant of Naro.
Norman. The man offered his right hand.
How and why'd you find me?
Maya asked, instead of shaking. They gave me a dossier on everyone here when I signed up as a timer.
Maya stepped back, then scanned the park for other enemies.
Relax, Norman said. I'm going rogue. Just took the time guard deal because they offered it. Gives me a better chance up for revenge.
That's, fucked up. Or clever.
Maya didn't let her guard down. I found you because I read up on everyone. I read about Mr. Morrison, who's been taking work as a butcher. Fitting enough with what he did to those kids. Dr. Ramnath, murderous 3 times over. Mr. Kruger defrauded the bank. You know he's paying it back, indentured as a timer.
I didn't know,
Maya said. Roughly 1 in 10 convicts were indentured as undercovers, feigning true exile and keeping tabs on the rest of them. He's got less than a year left. You know they give us software, let us track phones, eavesdrop. I won't use it.
Why me?
Maya asked. In Cleveland 2016, you've got a whole mess of murderers and grand larcenists. Then there's you, sentenced to more than 800 years for sedition.
I didn't even do it. I didn't even write that thing.
The 9 guides and their inevitable deaths? It was a masterwork. I'd own up to that if I were you. Cult hit, kind of preachy, drags in the middle, but I'll tell you what. It's widely regarded as the best augment of 2834, even if everyone was too afraid to put it up for consideration.
Is that it? You're coming back to get me to confess? Get me to brag about their inevitable deaths and clear up the case?
Norman sat down on the steps with his elbows on his knees, resting his chin on a fist. I'm here to recruit you, whether or not you wrote it. Maya tossed that around in her head. The morning birds were singing in the distance.
You know who the time guards are, she said. We'll take one hostage. Get out of here.
It won't work, Norman said. Timers are indentured. We aren't worth anything. Maya paced.
Is Yannick a timer? She asked.
What? No, he was your co-defendant, wasn't he?
Why didn't you text him too, then?
I got the feeling, the media got the feeling, that he was just kind of dragged into it all by you, Norman said. Just your boyfriend. That's not the kind of guy I'm looking for.
He's not really my boyfriend, Maya said, then wished she hadn't.
She stopped pacing, looked up at the bare-chested woman night and day. There's something better than getting home, Norman said. There's revenge. Destroy the future? Destroy the future, he agreed. No way this is a good idea, Yannick said. He admitted he's a timer. How can this be a good idea? A dead fish stink came off the lake as they walked along the concrete pier. The water likely too toxic for swimming. Another quirk of history, humanity treating the Earth like its own personal piss pot. That's what Venus was for.
What are they gonna do? Exile me? They've got no reason to set me up.
You just think he's handsome.
So would you.
Meaningless, Yannick said. I think everyone's handsome. You're the picky one.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going along with it as far as to see what he's planning, Maya said.
Would you have taken the time guard deal? If they'd offered you'd one?
God, no, Maya said. You ever heard of anyone getting a time guard deal without snitching?
No.
They reached the end of the pier. Lake Erie stretched out to the horizon. I can't handle this, Maya said. I don't know if he's right, but I've got to see what he's thinking. I can't handle waking up at 5 to serve coffee. I can't handle how much my coworkers care about coffee. I can't handle everyone running around like their political choices have merit when I know the economy's going to collapse in less than a century. I can't stand pretending like I don't know things. I can't stand waiting in line and taking buses and how people treat animals like pets. And I can't stand all the shit and fucking piss tragedies of the era. There's nothing for me here. Nothing.
Yannick climbed up the short chain link fence, perching on it like a gargoyle. I'm here, he said. I know, Maya said. It's not enough. I'm sorry, but it's not. Yannick turned his face away from her, stared out over the water. You just think he's handsome. He looked up from his coffee as she approached. Since the morning, he'd changed into a black t-shirt and tight black pants. He looked like any other 20-something in the cafe. His eyes met hers, and she fought down the desire to return his smile. There was a cup of tea waiting in front of her seat, still warm. Wasn't sure you'd come, he said.
Bullshit,
Maya replied. Two men at the next table over were lost in a loud religious argument. Maya found herself leaning in towards Norman to catch his words. It's not bullshit, he said. I wasn't sure you'd trust a timer.
What's your plan? She asked.
I've been running it over in my head all day. There's nothing we can do in the 21st century to fuck up the 29th. Not our 29th, anything we do.
Anything we do that affects the course of history between now and our future will necessarily mean we'll be affecting a parallel space-time, not our own.
Exactly, Maya said.
What year were you convicted? 2835?
Yeah.
I was convicted in 2843.
Ha! I'm older than you,
Maya said. Anything we do that affects the course of history between now and our futures will affect a parallel space-time instead of our own. But we're going to set a slow fuse on a full-bore crackoid, let it burrow down into the Earth. The day after they shunted me off to this century, goes boom. No more future.
That would literally blow the entire planet apart,
Maya said. Yeah, Norman said. A full bore crackoid on that slow a fuse would destroy the future that exiled us and every other parallel that branches out from it now. Yeah, Norman said. You're crazy. I need your help, Norman said. I know how to build a slow fuse. I'm not sure I could put together the crackoid. Post-temporal string bombs are mostly beyond me. Maya took the tea bag out of her cup and placed it on a saucer, then blew over the tea.
Why would you do it?
She asked after an uncomfortable pause. Because I don't know what else to do, Norman said. He was pleading with her. Every bit of him told her that she had power, that he needed her. I can't stand feeling helpless. Can't stand living here. But I can't stand the idea of going home. World run by the nine guides is no world to live in. You know that.
I know that, but the whole planet?
Just one sliver of space-time, said Norman. Just our future. The ones born from this shit society. A trillion million Earths will still be there. Just not the ones ruled by the Nines.
What did you do?
Maya asked.
What?
Sorry, I'm the queen of non sequitur. That's how my brain works. What got you exiled? And what got you a time guard deal?
I got convicted of mass murder. I helped blow up a good chunk of parliament.
Like in their inevitable deaths,
Maya said. We didn't get any guides. I killed a lot of bureaucrats. No guides.
They let you take a deal?
I just built the bomb, he said. At 24, I was barely old enough to stand trial. Mostly, though, they let me cut a deal because I agreed to rat out the mastermind. I ratted out my dad.
Your dad?
He was a monster. The only good thing he ever did was bomb Parliament. I didn't rat him out to save my skin. I ratted him out to hurt him.
How the hell is that going to help me trust you?
Maya asked. It's not, probably, but I'm not lying to you. Whatever else you want to say about me, I don't lie.
There's no way I could build a crackoid without access to modern equipment. And it's not even my specialty.
I've got pieces in my apartment, Norman said. I smuggled them across, but I'm not sure I could reconstruct it if I tried. I need you.
If he'd smiled or batted his eyes or laid on his obvious charm, Maya would have stood up, walked away, and never spoken to him again. Instead, he looked at her, earnest, hopeful, almost in love.
You think I wrote their inevitable deaths,
Maya said.
Yeah. You're so big into honesty, but I think you lied about that.
I don't hold other people to the same code I hold myself, he said.
You're sincerely the most fucked up, confusing person I've ever met.
Norman opened his wallet, pulled out two old-fashioned paper tickets. I've always loved millennial-era plays. Can I take you to the theater? His apartment was in a better part of town, closer to the water. They'd been drunk on gin and tonic during the play, but Maya made sure she was sober by the time they made it into the building. She made better decisions sober.
Damn, they set you up nice,
Maya said as they reached the third floor landing. This is nice, Norman asked.
My place, you gotta go around the backyard of this ugly oversized house. Get up some rickety stairs.
Norman opened the door and Maya stepped into the studio apartment with big windows, no furniture. A built-in countertop split the living space from the kitchen. A cot was shoved into one corner, a black duffel in another. Maya's phone tripped. She pulled it out, saw a text from Yannick.
Where are you?
She turned off the ringer.
Let's see it, Maya said. Let's see what you've got off this bomb.
I can't, get you a drink or something?
You've already recruited me. Lay off the charm.
Norman went to the bag, unzipped it. The scent of oil and metal fell into the room. He took out a pistol, set it on the windowsill.
They gave you a period weapon?
In case anyone tries what you wanted to try, he pulled out the clip, then popped out the first bullet and handed it to Maya. Take the bullet out of its casing.
Maya did.
Instead of gunpowder, she was pretty sure period weapons were fired with gunpowder. The shell held 6 grams of hypercompressed.
Can I use that counter? She asked.
Right now? Maya caught Norman looking over at his cot in the corner.
It won't take me more than an hour if everything's here, Maya said. Let's get this started before I lose my nerve.
Okay, Norman said. He shoved aside some liquor bottles on the counter, then took a swig of gin from one. He offered it to Maya, his big, handsome eyes imploring. She faked a drink and held onto the bottle. Sensing his discomfort, she put a hand on the small of his back, smiled. The tension dropped out of his body, at least a little. She turned to her work. Each hypercompressed was a sphere the size of a coarse grain of sand. One by one, she placed them on the counter, then smacked them hard with the base of the gin bottle. Each cracked open, each holding nearly a cubic foot of matter. She had everything she would need. A crackoid is a semi-organic, and Maya spent the next hour measuring cultures and proto-cultures. Done right, these cultures, incubated in a fast-forward chassis, would evolve more or less instantly into a short-lived creature that would send its roots through the Earth and sunder the world. Usually they were used for asteroid mining. Most famously, rogue scientists had used one to settle the debate, once and for all, if Pluto was a planet. All the times humanity developed the power to destroy itself utterly, and it never had. Or, more likely, it had done it 100 million times in 100 million ways in alternate space-times, but of course, Maya could not have been born into a world that did not exist. The slow fuse, in contrast to its payload, was purely mechanical. Its twin purposes were to drill deep into the Earth and tell the chassis when to begin its work. Across the counter, Norman worked methodically, intently, even happy. They caught one another's eyes a few times as they worked. Maya missed that. The complexity of the work, the complexity of the work relationships. If only any of this made sense. Where are we going to put it? She asked. Into the lake, Norman said. The lake has never dried. It's never been developed. They'll never find it.
You've put a lot of thought into this, haven't you?
I spent 6 months in solitary awaiting trial. They went back to their work. In the end, it was no bigger than a pipe bomb. Norman held it aloft. Little things matter, he said. After they were let out of the cab a few blocks from the pier, Maya checked her phone. Got Chinese. Didn't order for you, since I haven't heard from you, Yannick had sent. An hour later, he'd sent. Hope you're all right. She put the phone away. The pair walked in silence. Their crackoid was heavy in her purse. The streetlights on the pier were broken, and everything was dark. They reached the water. Should we do it? Norman asked.
Yeah.
Maya handed him the crackoid. Together? Norman asked.
You do it.
She took a step back.
He pitched it with all the strength in his young body, and it sailed through the dark sky, then fell into the dark water. Norman pulled himself up the waist-high fence to look for the ripples. Maya held up the gun with a two-handed grip.
1, 2, 3, go, she said under her breath.
The shot rang out over the water, and Norman turned to her when the bullet hit his back. She emptied the clip into his body, afraid of aiming for his handsome eyes. When he was dead, she pushed him over the fence and watched his body hit the lake. His punctured lungs took on water and he began to sink. Fuck off, Maya said, which she could see of his corpse. You can't just blow up a fucking planet with people on it. She threw the gun as far as she could, sailed through the dark sky, and then fell into the dark water. She was walking down the street to her apartment, headed for the fence, headed for home, and sleep, and presumably grumpy Yannick, when a BMW drove at her and stopped only a few feet away. Mr. Kruger, short and thin, with short and thin black hair, got out from the driver door. Maya Havel. She was too tired to run. She raised her hands in surrender. The passenger door opened, and a guide's prosecutor stepped out. She was easily distinguished, wearing a medium, matte gray that ate the light and radiated darkness. Put your hands down, girl. This ain't a stick-up. Her attempt at contemporary slang would have been comical, were she not a frightening vision and an agent of vengeance. I followed you, Mr. Kruger said. I'm sorry. It's my job. We found your crackoid, the guide woman said. It was non-functional. You did that on purpose.
I did,
Maya said. You're a hero, the guideswoman said. Beyond what I'm equipped to express.
Yeah.
Well, Maya put her hands down, started walking towards her house. They're offering you a full pardon, Kruger said. Maya stopped and turned back towards the car. The paint was scratched along the passenger side door. Are you serious? We are, the Gray Angel said.
Eat shit.
Maya walked through the yard of her apartment, towards the backyard, towards the rickety stairs and her crappy apartment. Norman had been right about a lot of things, and the world ruled by the nine guides was no world for Maya. They called after her, but she kept walking. Yannick was sleeping, or feigning sleep, on the couch when she came in. He sat up and rubbed out his eyes. Where were you? Maya poured herself a drink, downed it, poured another, nursed it. The 21st century had decent booze, and it had hip-hop, and it had her boyfriend. I shot some guy who thought I wrote your book.
Done. You should have called before you come. You hit a trumpets, now you run, 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 run. You hit a trumpets, now you run. My you feel alive. And now you're spending your whole life thinking about that, thinking how you're gonna die. I'll read it, I'll read it, I'll read it, I'll admit it, I need it, I need it, I need it, I.
Welcome back to Prison Radio on CFRC 101.9 FM. That song you just heard was Trumpets by Alexander. Before that, you heard me reading a short story by Margaret Kiljoy. The story is called We Who Will Destroy the Future. I do really enjoy reading stories out loud like that, and I hope to do some more reading on the show in the future. Probably will. For now, I am going to end the show off with a bit more music, because that's all the programming I had planned for today. We will kick it off with some Patrick Holland, followed by some other sort of housey stuff. Stay tuned. Should be fun.
Thank you.
time. What you gonna ask for? The future hold the thing that you need to find.
Women in STEM. Are you interested in joining a group that advocates for lifting up women and other underrepresented groups in STEM? Well then, WISE is the place to be. Women in Science and Engineering at Queen's University is a group of passionate women creating welcoming and inclusive spaces for future engineers, scientists, and leaders. When you join WISE, you'll have the opportunity to learn from experienced pros in the field, grow your network, and be a source of inspiration for the young women in the Kingston community. Follow our Instagram at QueensWISE or visit our website www.queenswise.ca to learn more.
Mondays can be a tough day, but would you like something to brighten up your Monday afternoon? Well, tune in to my show, Dark Glasses, on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf, and the show is now in its 14th year with a mixture of mainly jazz, but also blues, folk, some pop, even retro pop, and the occasional interview. So that's Dark Glasses, Mondays at 2 p.m.